Russian President Vladimir Putin announced on Sunday that he's forcing America's diplomatic mission in Moscow to downsize by more than 750 people. It's the latest swing in a series of blows between Russia and the United States. Putin is responding to new sanctions from Congress, retaliation for actions that included Russia's interference in the 2016 election. The Trump administration tried to stop those sanctions from passing, but Congress overwhelmingly approved them. And now the president is out of options. Rajan Menon is here with more on this diplomatic escalation. He's the Ann and Bernard Spitzer professor at the Powell School at the City College of New York. And he says after the sanctions vote last week, Putin's answer wasn't surprising.
The cutting of the embassy staff, I wouldn't characterize as a significant escalation because it's kind of a tit for tat. You may remember that in December, President Obama expelled 35 Russian diplomats and brought the Russian representation in the United States to 455. So the 755 number that Putin has reduced by brings their representation and ours on par.
All right, but if the Russians are signaling that they have to respond to sanctions and signaling that they're out of patience with the United States, there's an irony here. President Trump has made so many efforts to flatter Vladimir Putin, to praise him, of course, to signal a willingness not for new sanctions, but to lift existing sanctions. He's refused to name Russia in election meddling. So given all of this, the relationship has still managed to deteriorate. Why has that happened?
Well, Trump's election, as it turned out, has not been the boon for Russia that most people in the United States, commentators, etc., have thought it would be. In fact, Russia has become such an albatross around Mr. Trump's neck that anything he does in terms of sanctions relief or cozying up to Russia becomes a political liability for him. So what these sanctions have done is to make it impossible or nearly impossible for him to lift sanctions without congressional approval. And I've just read the bill and it's pretty airtight. So even if Mr. Trump wanted to, he cannot lift the sanctions. He can't even lift the sanctions that President Obama imposed in 2014 and 15 and 16. Those were executive orders, which Mr. Obama or Mr. Trump could have lifted with the stroke of a pen. But they now have been rolled into legislation, as have the more recent extensive sanctions.
So that might mean then that Vladimir Putin looks at President Trump, and even though he was full of nice words and signals that he wanted to warm up relations or get close to Vladimir Putin, he's seeing a president that doesn't have the power anymore to do it.
No question. The Russian media's coverage of Trump has become much less favorable, and Russian officials, including Mr. Putin, have signaled that they are disappointed and expect things to get worse before they'll get better. So certainly there is a sense of disappointment on the Russian side.
So President Trump was cornered here by Congress. He had Republicans and Democrats in Congress, as we've said on this show, who were pretty fed up with the president refusing publicly to take Russia seriously, refusing publicly to condemn Russia for meddling in the election. So they passed these sanctions. The president was cornered. Is there a chance here that Putin might think he overplayed his hand with Donald Trump and now has angered Congress so that things are more difficult?
Well, you know, from Putin's perspective, the Russian line has been that they did not meddle in the elections and that Trump's election had to do with the preference of the American people. So I don't think Putin will ever say he overplayed his hand. That said, although the Russians, in my view, were not expecting Trump to be elected any more than we were, once he was, I think they had reason to expect, certainly compared to what Hillary Clinton might have done, that there would be an uptick and a rapprochement between Russia and the United States. That almost certainly will not happen as far as the eye can see.
Well, are there opportunities to improve on this relationship?
Not for the short term. So take the words of Senate Minority Schumer, Leader Schumer, who was very instrumental in getting these sanctions passed. He said, "Now Congress, not the president, becomes the, quote, final arbiter of when sanctions relief will occur, and that any chance that the president can lift the sanctions have been, quote, dashed by this legislation." So Mr. Trump is handcuffed, and Mr. Putin knows Mr. Trump is handcuffed.
But then Rajan Menon, that's an extraordinary state of affairs where Congress has wrested control of diplomacy with an adversary, an important adversary like Russia, from the hands of the president.
Absolutely. That is why Mr. Trump and Mr. Tillerson made it very clear before the legislation passed that they were not in favor of it, because traditionally, whether it's Mr. Trump or another president, they like maximum flexibility in terms of dealing with foreign countries. And this legislation, essentially on the question of Russia sanctions, puts Congress in the driver's seat and not the president.
Rajan Menon, professor at the Powell School at the City College of New York. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.